Slí Nua Careers consultant Liam Horne's on the phone with us. Hi, Liam.
Good afternoon, Greg.
Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. Now, last week we heard about people having to tell jokes in job interviews. They were asked to do such, and then we had this story of Alan Bacon. He effectively found himself in a real-life episode of The Office when he had to dance to Daft Punk. Is this the norm or the exception?
Well, thankfully, it's not the norm.
Thankfully.
Thankfully, it's not the norm. But funny stuff does happen, you know. I mean, it's... there's a lot of cliched ones that over the years have been asked, cliched, weird kind of questions, but then out of the blue you'll come across people who get asked very unusual questions. It's not the norm, and I would say to people, if it happens to you in an interview, to kind of keep the cool and see what are they getting at here, really. What is the question behind the question, almost? Why is this being brought up here? What are they trying to get at?
In no scenario, though, surely, should anyone, and there was, along with Alan, there was an older gentleman who had to mime a rap song, I think. There's no scenario where that's acceptable, surely.
Well, no, and I would say that one involving the Alan Bacon was humiliating, and I know that the company involved, Currys, have actually apologised for that. So, you know, it shouldn't be done to humiliate. It should be done to find out candidates who can think better on the spot. So being a good dancer or not is hardly part of the gig. But, you know, I suppose they might be looking for spontaneity. There'll be reasons why they might do it, but they've gone over the top with this one, clearly. But there are lots of other ones that get asked in interviews that are not as extreme as that.
Give us some examples.
Well, if I was you, I'm interviewing you now, Greg, for a job as a salesman for mm-hmm. us, travelling the road. I want to ask you one quick question.
Go ahead.
What do Cadbury's make?
Cadbury's make chocolate.
I was hoping you would say Cadbury's make money.
Oh, right, of course. Well, that's entrapment, that is. That's not fair.
Well, it wouldn't lose you the interview, but I know a gentleman who is a very senior recruiter in banking who uses that question, and he reckoned 1 in 50 would think out of the blue, maybe it's not so obvious as chocolate, and say money. But what they're looking for is your ability to think on your feet, you know. The other ones as well is sales. You've been asked to sell this biro. So, you know, I have a biro in my hand, sell you that now. And I would say that one of the problems with interviews is that they're an unreal, unnatural situation.
But there's logic to that, though, isn't there?
I mean, the point I'm making, yes, that if you can bring it to the actual skill, I mean, if I was hiring an electrician today, I probably should at least ask him to change a plug, although that's kind of a minimum end of the market. But in some ways, it does show whether or not you can do it, because there have been lots of scare stories horror stories over the years of great interviews by bad candidates. So the employers are probably looking to see, you know, beyond even just the talking the talk, but can you actually implement the skill you're talking about implementing, which will be one in that case there as well. The other ones obviously are how might you fit an elephant into a fridge, why are manhole covers round instead of square, all that kind of thing.
Might as well answer them now that you're on, Liam.
Well, see, in lots of cases there isn't necessarily a right answer to it. Yes, you see, there's a very good one which has been the subject of quite a lot of documentation. It's called the three doors question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically where you're a game show. I'm a game show host. I'm the interviewer. You're the candidate.
Okay.
And I bring you through a scenario whereby you're down to the last three doors. And behind one of the doors is the big prize. Behind the other two doors is nothing. And I'm here to help you as a game show host. And I ask you a question. So I say, okay, Greg, which door are you going to pick? One,
middle.
Two, or three?
A two, obviously.
Okay, very good. Number two. I walk over now. Remember, I am here to help you, genuinely. I walk over and I open door number one, and there's nothing behind door number one. So we now exclude door number one.
Yes.
And I say to you, okay, Greg, do you want to stick with your answer, or do you want to move on to, or do you want to change your guess? If two and three are now left, you picked two already. Do you want to stick with your answer, your guess, or go with a different one?
Is this going to end badly for me either way, Liam?
You have a job, Greg. It's okay.
Okay, well. three? I'm going to switch to three purely because you suggested I should, really.
I hope I do. Okay, well, that's the reason why you suggested I go to three. You're right, but your logic doesn't stack up.
Okay.
You're right that, now, I am not mathematical, and people should actually Google this called the three-door puzzle and read about this.
Okay.
Basically, when I removed the door, when you guessed initially, you had a 1 in 3 chance of being correct.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I removed one door, your guess now becomes a 1 in 2 chance. Okay.
Yes.
And when I decided to remove door number 1, I didn't remove door number 3. If you know what I mean.
I get you. Yeah.
I'm not mathematically minded, and even the gentleman who first introduced me to this had to explain it to me a few times, and I won't explain it very effectively here. But what they're looking for is your ability on the spot to calculate probability.
Well, you see, I've always been a bluffer, so I got there in the end.
When it was tried on me first, I stuck with my guess, and what happens is if you stick with your guess, he concludes and you believe you're lucky, whereas the person who says, I'll go to number 3 and this is the reason why, he sees them as being a more logical person. And the thing about this is it depends on the job you're filling. Maybe you want somebody who believes they're lucky as opposed to somebody who believes that logic is the
exactly. And
the
as you say,
root.
It depends on the situation. Now, I forgot I was on the radio there. Can you give us just some advice for a minute for people who maybe have a job interview coming up? What are your top tips there, Liam?
Are you saying in relation to being asked a weird question or in the general run of
things? I think just in general. You know, how should you set yourself up? Should you try and find everything out about the company or...?
Yes. Abraham Lincoln said if he was asked to cut down a tree, if he was given 8 hours to cut down a tree, he'd spend 7 sharpening the saw. What matters in an interview is the preparation you do beforehand. And basically, you must start from the employer's perspective. What is the employer looking for in this job? What are the characteristics? What are the skills? What are the attributes? What are the practicalities? Can you drive a car? Can you, use Microsoft Office? Yeah. Write down everything the employer is looking for, and that will come to you from the job spec, from the advertisement, from the company website, okay? So what are they actually looking for? You should be able to go into an interview and tell them back exactly what they're looking for, okay?
Mm.
Now, when you've done that, you then link your previous experiences to that. So if they say we want somebody who can generate sales in a new territory, you should then go back to your career and find that the times in your career you generated sales in a new territory or new parts of your territory. So start with the employer's need. That to me changes the game. That most people go into an interview thinking about themselves and projecting outwards. We recommend much more start before you go in there by thinking about the employer and working back to your skills and go in and give that as a mix on the day. I know it's kind of a potted version, but if people were to write down the actual job spec and look at it and see, where do I fit that bill?
People
ignore the job spec all the time, Greg. Yeah, so I speak over you.
Do you have to be realistic, though? I mean, maybe if you look at that, do you realise, you know what, maybe this isn't for me. Do you bluff it, or...?
No, you don't bluff it, and you probably shouldn't be going to that interview in the first place. But a good interview panel will find that anyway. So, you shouldn't be applying for jobs you're not able to do. But what this has the effect of is that it gets you to remember things from your career. When we do this work with clients, you'd be amazed that said, "Do you know what? 10 years ago, I did something that's exact parallel to this." And people regularly overlook stuff far back in their career. And the point we would make it's about relevance, not about chronology. Mm. It may be 20 years ago that the good stuff is, and you've got to excavate back there. If people want some information on that, we have an information pack that deals with a lot of that. They can email us on getthatjob@sleenewackcareers.com.
Okay.
Did I sell you the bio on that plug for myself there?
I think it was excellent. I was going to offer you the opportunity anyway. And another thing I have to pull you up on, Liam, because I'm doing this on behalf of a listener. What do Cadbury's make?
Money.
No, they don't. The Mint makes money. They earn it.
Say that again, the Mint?
Yeah, they earn money. They don't make it.
Okay, well... Huh? Who makes money? So, yes, fine.
No, there's a bit of logic to that, all right?
Actually, when you say mint, you're thinking the mint as in those who print money. I was thinking about mint in Cadbury's or something.
I think you're obsessed. You're working for them as well.
Maybe I'm in the wrong job.
Liam, a pleasure to speak with you. I wish we had more time. Great advice, and thanks for taking the questions.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg.
All right, take care. That's Liam Horan, their career consultant with Slea Nua. That's all we have for you on the programme today. Thank you to everyone who contributed.